Broadcasting from the David Price IMAX Center Studios. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
Hide is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch.
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Wimberly has his afternoon show down in Jackson, Mississippi, Monday through Friday. He's with us. Hey, Jay, good to have you, man. Here's where I want to go first. Historically speaking, and I don't remember the preseason 2014 Mississippi State buildup. I remember what happened. They were the first team ever ranked number one in the initial playoff rankings, but has there been a Mississippi State team that you can remember with this much hype leading into the season?
Wow, Bill, and good to speak with you. You know, 2014, I think Mississippi State was ranked fifth, or they were projected fifth at SEC Media Days, fifth or fourth. Bill, you have to go back before social media. You have to go back after 1998, where Mississippi State played for the Southeastern Conference Championship. They had a ton of defensive talent coming back, like this year, 1999. There was a lot of buildup on that team. They didn't have a real good offense. Bill, you have to go all the way back to 1999 to have anything like this. And I don't even think 99 had this kind of buzz to it.
Yeah. Jackie Sherrill era. And I remember that team. Was Wayne Matkin the quarterback then? Who was the guy?
He was.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Wayne Matkin. Mississippi State went to 8-0, went to Alabama, ended up losing to Mike DeBose, Sean Alexander, and that whole team, that crew over there in Tuscaloosa. It was a heck of a run in 99, but yeah, it was Jackie Sherrill, Joe Lee Dunn during that time.
Everybody, when we think of Joe Moorhead, and apparently he is being received incredibly well. The transition has gone exceedingly well. And obviously he's an offensive side of the ball guy. But defense is what leads this team right now, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you look at the returning starters on defense. 82% of the production from last year, a defensive line that's probably – on paper, as good as that 99 bunch. I mean, you've got guys like Jeffrey Simmons and Montez Sweat and Errol Thompson and several others, you know, that'll play in the National Football League or at least get an opportunity to. They've got three or four linebackers that can play. Secondary has got some question marks, but, yeah, defense is where this team hangs its hat on. I mean, last year, right around 22 points per game is what they gave up. And, I mean, really just a lot of experience and a lot of athleticism on that side of the ball.
We'll never know about Nick and that knee until he's on the field, but they're saying all the right things, correct?
Yeah, they're saying all the right things. I mean, you talk to people up there, and Joe Moore had mentioned this the other day. He's still got some work to do in his lower body, and we'd heard that, you know, he's coming along fine. He was at the Manning Passing Academy, and Mike Dettier said that, you know, he looked pretty good. He's still got, you know, a ways to go, though, and we'll see. And, you know, they get a cream puff, you know, they get an FCS opponent week one. Then they got to go to Kansas State week two, and that'll be the week, Bill, that we see, you know, just how effective he can play. Good thing for Mississippi State, they're as deep at quarterback as they can, and maybe forever. Keaton Thompson got a chance to play in the bowl game against Louisville last year, looked really good. Came into that, you know, after Nick got hurt in the Egg Bowl, so they've got some depth there. But you hope Nick Fitzgerald can be really close to what he was last year. And if he is, that gives Mississippi State a puncher's chance in just about any ballgame.
Give me in the audience the differences, personality-wise or football field-wise, both, between Moorhead and Mullen.
Well, I'll tell you this. I had a chance to visit with Joe Moorhead probably about 2 weeks after he took the job. Dan Mullen always – I mean, look, I like Dan Mullen. Really hard to talk to. Just almost – I don't even know how you would frame it up. Just extremely difficult to talk to. Joe Moorhead, sitting down talking with him over the phone for about 25 minutes, it was like talking, like me and you're talking here. Just a great conversation, really smooth, act like he knew you his entire life. He's a people's guy. I mean, he's a player's guy. We hear that a lot out of coaches, but just his demeanor is extremely laid back. And he's been well received, not only from the players, but the fans seem to love him. And boy, he has really taken off. I haven't seen a coach. You know, all fan bases love new coaches. It's like new relationships. You get a new girlfriend, get a new boyfriend. But man, they have really embraced this guy. And right now, the expectations put on his back by this fan base, on the field, off the field, and everything, has been well into the 100 percentile.
Yeah, and again, Mullen, I think, probably will do a good job at Florida. So this isn't about the football field, but I've always told this audience, even all those years he was at Mississippi State and doing pretty well, the Mullen you see on mic or on camera, media days, or in a press conference is not the same Mullen you get behind the scenes.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. I mean, Dan Mullen's a really good football coach. The knock on Dan Mullen is sometimes he looks to overcoach games. I mean, like the Alabama game last year, Mississippi State looked like they had a chance to really win that ball game. Mullen had the football, I think, somewhere around midfield. And instead of really going for it and trying to get a first down on like 4th-and-1, 4th-and-2, he punts back to Alabama. They end up winning the football game. I think the difference just in the small sample size that we see with Joe Moorhead, he's going to be in a more aggressive play caller. He's going to take a few more chances. And I think that's the difference in the style. Plus, Mullen, I mean, his spread is a power spread, where Joe Moorhead likes to throw the football. He likes to, throw is what he calls a tag on the play. He likes to, have an option each play for the quarterback to make a couple different options. And I think that's going to be the big difference there. But the biggest difference, I think, is going to be how aggressive Joe Moorhead is with the football versus, say, Dan Mullen.
Jake Wimberly with us talking Mississippi State, Bill King Show. One thing that I've noticed, and I want to ask you how this might apply to Mississippi State. Florida State fans and Texas A&M, and maybe not the fan base is going back and forth, but Jimbo had a really miserable last year there. He wasn't getting along with the administration. The key booster guy didn't get along with. He didn't get along with the AD. Promises were not fulfilled. Things like that. Okay, so it was a divorce that needed to happen. Florida State needed a fresh start. So did Jimbo, and Jimbo gets his big deal at A&M. But there's still talk. Florida State fans still remind me on literally every day that they still resent Jimbo and that whole last year. So my question to you is. Not that the same thing happened with Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen got a chance to go to Florida. He took it. But Mississippi State fans, do they dislike Mullen? Is there any of that going on right now is my question.
I don't know that they necessarily dislike Mullen. I think that there's some animosity to the way he left. And it's always a bad breakup, it seems. Mullen said, a couple weeks prior to him leaving that he was never going anywhere, that this is where he wanted to be. But then you started to hear the rumblings of Tennessee. You heard the rumblings of Florida. And Mississippi State fans had witnessed this the last 3 or 4 years. You know, if you listen to some in the program, Dan Mullen wanted the Miami job, and then, Mark Richt got that job. That he was looking for a way out for the last several years, which is fine. I mean, if he wants to go, he's more than welcome to do that. But I think that's where the animosity is, that Dan Mullen over the last couple of years wasn't 100% dedicated to the program. And then the other thing, Bill, that you got to look at here, and we talk a lot. We cover Mississippi High School football. We're right on the front end of this thing. You talk a lot of the coaches in the state, and you talk a lot of the people that are surrounded by the programs. His staff and him were not received extremely well by some of the programs on the back end of his career just because of his attitude and the way he approached recruiting. I knew well in advance Cam Akers never had a shot to go to Mississippi State because of some animosity that was there, talking to some of the people over there. He ends up at Florida State. So I think to answer your question, Mullen not being 100% dedicated to the program and showing it, that brought some animosity. And then the recruiting as well brought a little animosity out of the fan base. And it's still there. And that's one of the things you see differently if you talk to high school coaches in the state of Mississippi now. Joe Moorhead, along with his staff, he brought in several guys that are Mississippi guys that understand recruiting. Mark Hudspeth, who was at Louisiana Lafayette, the head football coach, is back at Mississippi State. They have been well received, and if you talk to the coaches here in the state that have high school teams, they'll tell you it's 100% different. I think that's the major difference right there.
Jake Wimberly with us. I'll let you out the door on this one. If looking at the roster, back to the offense, is the only question mark really receiver?
I think it's receiver, and then I think it's definitely on the offensive line. No doubt it's receiver. I mean, they do not have Bill, I don't think they have one guy that may start at Vanderbilt or Tennessee right now. I mean, at the wide receiver position, they've got to find some pass catchers and some guys that can make plays on, you know, third and six, on second and eight, to move the chain. They've got to move the chains. They got to find that. Then it's the depth on the offensive front. They've got a good starting five. They got a lot of, you know, snaps returning on that offensive front. It's just finding that depth. If they can't find pass catchers and depth on the offensive front, this team may not reach the potential that a lot of people feel. If they can find a couple of those, it could get interesting and startable in November.
Big Jake, I appreciate you, buddy. Be good, man.
Hey, thanks, Bill. Talk to you soon.
Jake Wimberly. Historical perspective for everybody. Probably the most hyped this team has been since the late 90s when Jackie was getting them to an SEC championship game against Tennessee, if you will recall. Late 90s. So that's 20 years ago, basically. Now, let me also pose this question to you. How many schools that aren't historically powerful, Mississippi State would fall into that category. They're not. Can live up to the hype. It's hard. You've got so much stacked against you. It's difficult. History says they won't be able to. Now, sometimes history doesn't predict correctly. Sometimes history does not give us the right futuristic look. Lots of times it does, but it's not 100%. Doesn't have a batting average of 1,000. But it's hard. You know and I know. Schools that aren't historical typically have a very difficult time when they get that one opportunity to be good and everybody's patting them on the back and everybody's talking about it and acknowledging it. That's hard to live up to unless that's been your longtime MO. Now, again, Joe Moorhead, I like that hire. I like that dude. I'm impressed with the staff. So I'm not sure what I'm saying about predicting with them. I think they'll be a good football team. But for example, do you think they can be the two-slot team ahead of Auburn? Obviously, Bama's to pick one, but would anybody be bold enough to do that? Because they're going to be – they're somewhere in there, 2, 3, 4, right? But would you be bold enough to put them in the two slots? The question. 888-702-5494. Southeastern Termite and Pest. And that number is 615-293-0722. So the guys will be out in Coach Marshall's area. Coach Marshall is my marketing director for the western portion of the 615. Does a great job. Jeff, too,'s got the eastern portion over in Nolensville. And anyways, we're having a blast with this. And the guys are on a couple jobs, Brown Recluse and also Lady complaining about ants. That side of town this morning, I do know that. So it's going to be a busy day, man, everywhere. So Jeff pointed out this morning, one of the local news people put a picture up and said, look at this. This is in my house. That was Brown Recluse. Yeah. Very, very common. So if you have any of these needs, whether it's just a general quarterly spray for insects in general, or whether it's Brown Recluse, if you need a lawn application, people complain about insects, mosquitoes, all of that, ticks, that fixes that problem. Lawn application. Blast. Takes about 30 minutes to do, depending on how big a yard is. But if it's vapor barriers under the house, if it's termite jobs, lots of people trying to sell homes this time of year, you got to get that termite letter. If you're loaning somebody money, you better have that termite letter. They won't loan you if you've got termites. You got to get that fixed. So any of the above, and you want better pricing, and you want customer relations, which is just ridiculously good, that would be Southeastern Termite and Pest. 615-293-0722. Coming right back. A lot of hangout time rest of the way. Well, catch at the bottom of the hour. I do know that. But that's hit or miss. We'll see if we actually get that done. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're looking live at a stalled vehicle on 40 westbound right at Spence Lane. This has blocked the middle lane of traffic and is really slowing things down. If you're traveling on 24 coming out of Rutherford County, starting in Laverne, things are going to slow down to about 30 miles per hour. Coming out of Wilson County, once you get to about the airport, things are going to slow down to about 30 miles per hour. We've got a lot of issues out there this morning, guys. ICU Security specializes in surveillance, camera installation, and service. ICUSecurityInc.com. I'm John Boyce with On Time Traffic.
I used to leave voicemails for myself because the only one I could trust to get something done right was me.
Hey, you, it's me. Remember to order safety goggles and grab some milk on your way home.
But now I use Grainger. Grainger's got the technical support you'd expect from America's number one source for industrial-grade supplies. They're in the business of helping my business, so no more talking to myself. Now I talk to Grainger because when it comes to keeping your business running, Grainger's got your back. Call or click Grainger.com to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-park. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call at 615-724-1700. Or visit thesouthernnashville.com.
Coming up this week on Checkpoint Radio, we'll preview the action out at the PUBG Invitational, which has a whopping $2 million on the line. Plus, what is going on with Fortnite? In-game items have been mysteriously disappearing and ending up in the real world? We'll tell you all about it coming up on your source for esports and video game discussions, Checkpoint Radio from Westwood One. Join me, Nate, Robbie Norris, and Joe for Checkpoint Radio.
Sunday nights from 7 to 9. On Nashville Sports Radio.
WNSR weather.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Sunny and hot this morning across Greater Nashville. 92 the high. Slight chance of storms this evening. Warm, low 73. Chance of storms on Friday, high of 90. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Alvin Washington.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Hashtag Fat Side Up. Tweet to Bill at Bill is King to enter the arena of ideas.
David Price, IMAX Center Studios, Omni. We'll be at the Southern Steak and Oyster tomorrow morning. Georgia Dog tweets, Bill, if this is true, I don't know, maybe Murray, Pollock, Butler, and everybody else with an opinion may be right. Can we say what we condone this behavior just because he can win at Tennessee? Now, here's what he's referring to. The evil Mel Tucker tweets. Says, so Pruitt got drunk AF. Okay, initials, AF. So Pruitt got drunk AF after a Georgia loss and drove to Rick's house on a Sunday morning to kick his $A$ sign. Goes on to say, Pruitt has got to be the biggest dumb bleep on the planet. Everybody knows Rick be leading Sunday school classes at church on Sunday morning. Oh, God. Now, I remember it was a little contentious, but during that season, I don't remember spending hardly any time on this. If all this was going on, it was going on in relative quiet, right? It mainly came up out after. So they it was another typical uninspired energy vampire loss, right? Jeremy, who can't take it, and certainly can't take it any longer, has a few pops, decides to head over there and kick his bleep. Oh, God, I wish we had all this on video. Come on now. Bama Dave, checking in this morning on Twitter. Says, Bill, life is full of head impacts. Quit your crying. Well, I'm siding with Fedora, actually. Now, not the part where America's going to go to hell, too, if they keep diminishing football the way they are, but his theory about what they're doing to the game, I totally agree with. What was funny is when that thing came out with Fedora, of course, the media or the Twitter mafia, the PC group, okay, the social justice warriors all came out and just blasting Fedora. Just, I mean, and of course they did it in it like a big gang warfare. I remember reading it going, because I first saw the critiques. I didn't even know what they were critiquing, so I was thinking, okay, what the hell did Fedora do? Because obviously this is a big year for Fedora on the field. After what happened last year, he needs a good look. So I'm thinking, what did this guy do? I'm reading the tweets, all the critiques. So then I read it, and I went, wait a minute. I agree with him. Because I thought I was about to read something where he says something ridiculous, and I'm going to go, you idiot. Why would you? I was reading him going, and people were tweeting me saying, Bill, did you see this? Sounds just like you. Well, not exactly. I've never said, look, they're killing the game of football, they're making it into pillow fighting, and the country will also go to hell alongside that. I've never said that part, because I don't believe that. I don't think the country is attached to the success of football, what have you. I don't think that at all, but I know we love the sport. Well, let me be more specific. I love college and high school ball. I do not love the Sunday game. It's incredibly boring to me. I can't force myself on a Sunday. I just don't enjoy it. Tennessee Shanky says, stop it, dog. Vols getting back to relevance in the next few years. Only took Georgia 30 years to fire Rick. Bama Dave says, Pruitt is just pissed because he now doesn't have Griff to cut his grass. Yeah, that's right. You know, when Butch was up there on Rocky Top, Griff, because Griff had the podcast where he shilled for Butch, and Griff also, just in a voluntary way, according to the critics out there now, like Bama Dave, cut Butch's grass, I think for free. Now that he's gone, he cannot shill for Jeremy because he's down there in Georgia. You know, that's one thing now. Remind me on Griff, too. Two things you need to remind me about. For tomorrow, you need to remind me to ask Brad about what he thinks the over and under will be for the Ole Miss-Texas Tech game. I'm thinking 80. I'm guessing 80. But the other one is remind me on Tuesday when Griff is back in his regular slot on the show to ask about this whole Pruitt and Richt and everybody else. See, here's another angle to that whole thing. Supposedly, Pruitt and Kirby Smart. Now, again, they're very similar in style, right? Not similar to Rick, but supposedly, they're not very good buddies at all either. I don't think they jee-haw, right? There's a lot of good angles to this thing, man. A lot of fun little tidbits and snippets and angles to this thing. Catch them at the bottom of the hour. Crazy Charlie has a tough gig. He's got to try and find catch. That's not easy. So what I'm about to tell you is we're going to take the break, and then we may or may not have Jeff Ketchum. That's really good promotion, isn't it? We might and we might not. If we don't, I'll figure it out. It's not a problem. I'm a pro. I know what I'm doing. We are brought to you by, as we head to the break, the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Looking live now at the 6524 merger north of town. Traffic in that area right around 10 miles per hour. Still seeing major problems at the 2440 merger. On 24, starting in Laverne, you're going to see brake lights. And on 40 at the airport, you're going to start slowing down. And as we have most of the morning, seeing some big problems in the Kingston Springs Pegram area on Interstate 40. Right at the McCrory Lane exit, you are going to slow down. Charcoal Cowboys Barbecue is now open on Nolensville Pike in Lenox Village. CharcoalCowboysBarbecue.com. I'm John Boyce with on-time traffic.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-709-2413 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-709-2413. Again, that's 800-709-2413.
Experience the true spirit of Nashville at Bar Lines, an upscale honky-tonk with live music 7 days a week and an award-winning menu. Conveniently located across from Bridgestone Arena and only blocks from Nissan Stadium, Bar Lines is the perfect spot for sports and live music fans alike. Featuring 22 flat-screen TVs, the best of Music City's up-and-coming talent, Bar Lines offers an unforgettable Nashville experience. Bar Lines has the best hot wings in Music City and handcrafted libations featuring the best local spirits and finest Tennessee whiskeys. Come on down to Bar Lines, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel.
What the Acura TLX calls standard, others can't. An instinctive precision all-wheel steer system, four dynamic drive modes, and powerful Juuleye LED headlights. All standard. Hurry in and test drive the TLX today. Acura, precision crafted performance.
Test drive one today at Gary Force Acura, located at 1634 Westgate Circle in Brentwood, and visit them online at GaryForceAcura.com.
This is Johnny Ballpark Franks inviting you to join me for our coverage of the 2018 SEC Football Media Days, all this week starting at 4 p.m. from the Omni Atlanta Hotel at CNN Center and the College Football Hall of Fame. Our wall-to-wall SEC coverage is being brought to you by the David Price Center, the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, Penn Station East Coast Subs, Vine Street Wine and Spirits, and Strike and Spare Family Fund Centers. SEC Football Media Days coverage from Nashville Sports Radio.
All there is to know about Johnny Five Star, and now you can too. It's Bill King.
David Price, IMAX Center Studios, Omni. So I'm watching the Big 12 and the SEC simultaneously, their media days, and Herman, Tom Herman, and I am pulling for Texas. Texas has got to get relevant. It's important for the show. But Herman's acting even weird for him. But catch, before I get to that, his behavior, what's the deal? Give everybody the backstory on this player, former All-American DB, who's coming after Herman on Twitter.
Well, you know, one of the problems that Herman had a year ago was that he just didn't have the locker room fully. And some of that was, you know, I think Herman might have been a little bit too much of the bad cop last year. Like, I think he might have just come in and was a little too hard, and it rubbed some players the wrong way, certainly a lot of the upperclassmen. And so there was this kind of fraction in the locker room last year. You had a lot of guys who I think still would think of themselves as Charlie Strong guys. Most of them were upperclassmen. So there was just this thing in the locker room that existed. Deshaun Elliott is the ultimate Charlie Strong guy. He's dating Charlie Strong's daughter. They've been dating for a while. They may get married. Like, I don't know how that thing works, but they're a couple. And from what I understand, he hosted a pool party. Pool party. Fourth of July pool party, I think, from what I heard, at Charlie Strong's old house in Austin. And a bunch of UT players are going to come to it. And, you know, there's a bit of a history there. When Deshaun Elliott declared for the draft, he basically went into Tom Herman's office, didn't give him a chance to sell him on the idea of staying. He went in, he left. I mean, he was a Charlie Strong guy. The way this thing kind of was working behind the scenes is apparently the coaches were concerned that that there might be trouble at the party, so they told the guys not to go. That got back to Deshaun Elliott, who then went on to Twitter and kind of set the coaching staff on fire for talking about him. And it's just, you know, it doesn't help Texas in recruiting. I think it's a story that doesn't have to happen. And I think if you're Deshaun Elliott, you don't tweet that. And I think if you're the Texas coaches, you find a way to send your message without saying something that might be interpreted as a slam against one of the players, because that's going to get back to the players, and then you really are relying on the maturity of the players to handle the situation right. I don't know that Deshaun Elliott did, but I also, in fairness to Deshaun Elliott, I don't know what he heard. I don't know what was specifically said about him that might have set him off. And then, you know, like I said, there's a history there that there was a bit of an add-on to this. I just think both sides needed to handle this better. I think it will eventually be a non-story, at least publicly. But I think in recruiting, you know, some coaches will try to use this against Texas, and Texas will have to defend themselves against this charge that they talk about their players. You know, I even saw an Oklahoma player who picked Oklahoma over Texas tweeted yesterday, "This is why I chose Oklahoma over Texas." So it does give Texas's rivals some red meat to work with when they wouldn't have otherwise had this particular red meat to work with.
Watching Herman at the Big 12 meeting, and it's been tweeted a lot, but his answer to the question about do you have enough elite players, how many do you have? And there was, I counted, there was a 10-second pause. There was some really weird facial expressions. At one point, I thought he was about to get really mad. And then he smiled, totally changed facial expressions, and then answered it. Said, you know, a few, whatever he said. Look, I'm not a psychologist, but he's acting a little weird to me. That's all I'm saying, Catch. What's going on here?
It's actually kind of one of his things. Like, what he enjoyed, let me tell you what was surprising for that in that exchange for me,
right,
was that he didn't have an answer. What Tom Herman often does in press conferences, if he's asked a question, is he will take a moment and pause, and we can all watch him, like, think about it and process it and think his way through whatever it is that he's going to say. So I've seen him do that before. I don't know that I've ever seen him take a 10-second pause. It felt like forever before he answered the question. It was like he just sat there and was thinking, and it portrays weirdly on television because it's almost like we're spying on him trying to formulate a thought. A year ago, he was asked that question, and he had an answer quickly. You know, it was like, I don't even remember what it was. It might have been, I think we've got maybe 8 to 10, and then our goal is to get up to a certain number. So what I really found strange about the situation was that he didn't have an answer. That it wasn't odd that he stopped and took time to think about the question. I think he wants to give off the appearance that he will give thoughtful answers, and that by stopping and taking time to literally think about what he wants to say, it's like an exhibition of he put some thought into that, because we literally watched him think about it. But he thought about it for like 10 seconds and then didn't have an answer. And I thought that there were two questions in the press conference that define the press conference. I thought that my guy Anwar Richardson asked about the play calling, and Herman basically said, I don't know, I don't have to decide today. He kicked the can down the road. And then he was asked weirdly about how many championship players you have in your program right now, and he just didn't have an answer. And I thought, man, you know, there were only about 5 questions asked after he spent most of the time with his opening statement.
Right.
It just didn't look like, you know, he was a guy that on Tuesday didn't have all the answers. I mean, I guess that ultimately is kind of the elephant in the room. It's kind of stating it plainly. But typically you're used to these coaches kind of going into these sessions and they're ready for the questions. I think he was ready for Anwar's with how he was going to answer the play calling question. But to answer with a non-answer and then to kind of do that again a little bit later on in the press conference, it felt like a theme for some. I don't think it's a big deal, but it doesn't speak to him exuding confidence with the team that he's getting ready to play with. Whereas, as a stark contrast, Lincoln Riley was asked about his team, and he said, look, we may have more experience than we've ever had on any team ever at Oklahoma, but this also might be the best team that we've ever had at Oklahoma. Like, he exuded confidence that his team was potentially going to be great. And maybe Tom Herman was burned by doing a little of this last year. It just didn't feel like he didn't talk about his team and his program like one that was getting ready to go on a big run this year.
Jeff Ketchum, Orange Bloods with us, Bill King Show. The Tim Beck thing. Now, people, Ohio State fans, Twitter, you know, the Twitter mafia, they were screaming when Texas hired Tim Beck. And then they were also screaming, do not let him call plays. So now we get to the press conference. You going to let Tim Beck call the plays? Or are you going to call the plays? And he kicks the can down the road. Now, as long as he gets it right, it's going to be okay. But what's he thinking of here? What's the weight? I mean, what's camp going to do to that? That's my question.
I mean, this is the complexity of trying to figure out what this Texas team is. Because I think if you look at the defensive side of the ball, you're talking about a team that you could make the case that they have – Texas has the best defensive line, the best linebackers, and the best secondary in the Big 12. They're loaded. You look on the offensive side of the ball, and you're like, okay, they got an incoming senior transfer at running back. They've recruited well there. They'll have guys. I think the receiving core is loaded. So then it comes down to this. What do you think about the offensive coordinator? What do you think about the offensive line? What do you think about the quarterback? Those are all three pretty critical areas for a college football team going into any season. Texas has zero answers at any of those right now. We don't really know who's calling plays, but Tim Beck did not have a good year a year ago, and it went beyond simple play calling. It wouldn't be, you know, there was never, you know, Tom Herman does this thing where he claims that he lets his assistant coaches decide reps during games. So there's this constant, like the assistant coaches are sending out players and it doesn't necessarily match the personnel group and the play that's been called. And it was just really weird. And there would be games where a guy would have 80 plays one week and 10 plays the next week. And you couldn't figure any of that stuff out. It never felt like anyone was truly in charge. And that's the coordinator position, and nothing's really changed. Nobody really knows anything about quarterback. Thank God you and I haven't really talked about that yet today. And the offensive line was below average a year ago. They bring in Herb Hand, but the talent is basically the same. So either Herb Hand is a witch and a magician, which he might be an offensive line witch, in which case maybe that position gets better because Texas needs it to. Everything else I think is capable. Every area that I haven't spoken about, every other position, I think is Big 12 championship potential. Good, but coordinator, O-line, and quarterback, that's not the same thing as saying punter. That's not the same thing as saying they're not good at tight end. Those are arguably the three most important positions in a college football program, and they are major question marks, and I can't tell you with certainty that they'll go into this season with quarterback play or offensive line play that is top 40, top 50 nationally good, and that's not a very high bar. I can't tell you whether or not they can be at least that good. If they could just get that good, they're going to be an 8-9 win type team, but those areas have to be significantly better in the Big 12. You got to have top 25 national quarterback play to win the Big 12, because it is a conference where a year ago Baker Mayfield literally posted the highest quarterback efficiency that I think anybody in college football has ever posted, and four or five of the next top 10 were all Big 12 quarterbacks. So it really is a situation where if you're Texas, you can't just be kind of good there, but kind of good would be a nice start. You got to walk before you can run, but eventually if Texas wants to run, those areas that of concern, they can't just be pretty good. You can get away with that in a lot of other conferences. You just can't get away with being average at those places on offense. Otherwise, you're a seven-win team. And if Tom Herman's team can't get good fast in those areas, then this time next year, you know, we'll probably be talking about Tom Herman entering a critical year three and a bit on the hot seat, because someone did a poll on Orange Bloods, and I don't mean to go on and just – I'll say this real quick. There was an unofficial poll on Orange Bloods a week ago. How many wins do you expect for this season? More than 82% of Texas fans believe that this team is going to win 9 or 10 regular season games. So while Herman might not be exuding confidence yet about this team, its fan base is, and I think that makes the stakes much higher for him going into the season to have answers to questions that he doesn't yet have answers to.
Catch always. Fantastic, buddy. Appreciate you, man.
Anytime, my man. Be well. Later.
There is Jeff Ketchum, Orange Bloods. Yeah, that whole thing is getting weird to me. I mean, every Buckeye on the planet tried to help Texas. A, don't hire Tim Beck. B, if you do not let him call the plays. Been there, done that. Don't do it. Do not do it. Do you understand plain English? Herman hires him, says, here it is. They get to this year's media day in Dallas, in Frisco, and he kicks can down the road on the question. I'm not sure who's going to call the plays. I don't need to know right now. Well, I mean, okay, that's fair. As long as you fix it, that's fair. But it was an awkward moment, another awkward moment. That's all I'm saying. Okay, got to get another break. Reminder about tomorrow, though, we'll be at the Southern Steak and Oyster. Always love that. Crazy Charlie will have hour number one of the show tomorrow, because they don't open their doors till 7 o'clock hour. I'm the Nashville Hotel.
Your 2440 merger moving really slow right now. Coming out of Rutherford County, starting in Laverne, you're going to slow down. Things moving a little bit better on 40 around the airport, but you're still going to see brake lights. 65 northbound coming out of the Brentwood area right around Berry Hill, moving around 30 miles per hour. And crews are still on the scene on 40 east at McCrory Lane, this in the Pegram-Kingston Springs area, so expect slow traffic there. Don't let your glass be a pain. Contact Best Price Auto Glass, 615-877-0008. With on-time traffic, I'm John Boyce.
Two of the most popular rooms in the house now have an event to match. The Summer Kitchen and Bath Event, now at the Home Depot, where you'll find a contemporary Glacier Bay Dorset Bath Faucet at a new lower price of just $39. High Arc, chrome finish, it's the perfect finishing touch to that bath update. And at this price, even easier to get your hands on. Save at the Summer Kitchen and Bath Event, going on now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through September 19th while supplies last.
And now, a thought from Geico Motorcycle.
It took 15 minutes for you to choose the font for the tattoo of your girlfriend's name, Tara.
The swirly one.
Begin tattooing and get a breakup text from Tara as you finish the last A.
Can you make it pterodactyl or something?
To add insult to injury, you could have used those 15 tattoo minutes to switch your motorcycle insurance to Geico.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on motorcycle insurance.
Are you going to vote in the election?
No, I've never registered to vote.
That's too bad. Tennessee has the lowest voter turnout of any state in the nation. We've got to change that.
How?
Get registered to vote. Get the form online and mail it in. It's that easy. Do it now so you can help elect our next governor, senator, and local leaders.
Register to vote today. Tennessee should not be last in the nation in voter turnout. This announcement is from the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters at this Tennessee station.
Ladies and gentlemen,
here's a smart suggestion.
Check out the new and improved WNSR.com.
You're going to have to explain that.
It's the new and improved WNSR.com. With everything a sports fan needs.
We got a whole new attitude.
All the scores. All the highlights. All the updates. All the stories. And even the new website smell from Nashville Sports Radio.
This is the most important religious event of our time.
You keep saying that, but you don't tell me how.
Log on to the new and improved WNSR.com.
WNSR weather.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Sunny and hot this morning across greater Nashville. 92 the high. Slight chance of storms this evening. Warm, low 73. Chance of storms on Friday, high of 90. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Alvin Washington.
Sports Radio WNSR.
got biscuits. Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel does, and Bill King loves them all.
It will be right around the corner. Southern Steak and Oyster tomorrow morning. Crazy Charlie on those Fridays. It's once a month. Has the first hour, and then doors open. I'll be on air 7 until 9. That's just for that Friday. That's the way it works. Once a month that happens. 12 times a year that happens. Twitter at Bill is King. Rob in the 210 at San Antonio. Says, Bill, great interview with Ketch. He says, this will not fare well for Herman if he does not deliver 9 or more wins this season. Yeah, now they won't fire him, but the pressure will be mounting. And again, Tom is not good with criticism, and I don't think he's going to be good with the Texas pressure. Win or die, that kind of pressure. And the questions from the media, he's not good at that. And I'm not saying that'd be easy for anybody, but he is particularly not equipped for that. He is way sensitive. I mean, ultra sensitive. Looking around, tweets me, Bill, Sooner fans were ready for Venables to go when he left for Clemson. The defense had already started to decline. It was time for him to go. I'm glad this move worked out for him. By all accounts, he's a nice guy. Yeah, I mean, but again, the politics was, I'm bringing my brother back. And it's gone quite well for Clemson. All I know is since he's gotten there, and again, he got there because my boy, Kevin Steele, gave up 70 to West Virginia. So he had to go at Clemson. And he's doing a good job at Auburn right now. But he had to go. Matter of fact, I think I've told you the story, but shortly thereafter, Kevin reached out to me. I hadn't talked to him in a couple of years, actually, at that point. And it was when he had joined the Alabama staff under Nick. And we were talking, and he said, man, that was a tough time. You know, giving up 70 there. He took all the criticism, and he got run out of town. Dabo got Brent Venables, and again, it's working well. Dabo got a guy, and this all stems from the story this morning. It hit this morning. As far as I know, it hit this morning. But Venables just signed the biggest assistant coach contract ever, the defensive coordinator Clemson. $11.1 million, 5 years. So it's over $2 million for him, 5 years. And again, they've been playing nasty defense, and they've got four defensive linemen that some project all in the first round of the draft. Literally, okay? I mean, that's nasty right there. Players just left and right, and they are rolling right now in the ACC. They're rolling up the ACC. Bama Dave says, nice way to hook them, Bill. Quote, we may or may not have Nick Saban talking smack about Urban Meyer. Guaranteed radio gold. No, they don't do that. Now, Spurrier's taken a few shots through the years at Saban. But Saban and Meyer, they don't take shots at each other. Do you remember the SEC championship game? And I believe it was either the 08 or 09 one. 08 Florida one, 09 Alabama one. I don't remember which one, but it was Saban and Meyer. And it was in Atlanta. Not at the College Football Hall of Fame, but there at the Georgia Dome. And it was a day before the actual Saturday SEC championship game. And Meyer and Saban were at the podium together taking questions. It was a press conference. But anyways, very laid back, very cool. Urban Meyer told the story about how he was an assistant at Notre Dame, and I don't know if Nick was at Michigan State at the time. Maybe he was. But No. Urban Meyer wasn't at Notre Dame yet. He was just trying to get in the business. And so somehow he gets Nick Saban's number. and he gets hold of Nick's wife and talks to her, and she assures him that Nick will call you back. Nick's not here, but we'll call you back. He'll call you back, and he'll talk to you. And he never got the call. Nick never called him. Anyways, long story short, sitting there at the podium, Nick goes, biggest mistake of my life. Which, Nick, you've been okay without Urban in your life. You're okay. Also, what was funny, let's fast forward to yesterday. And this is on the set with Feinbaum and Marcus Spears, and Damian Harris is up there with them too. And they're just shooting the breeze. It was actually a funny conversation. I enjoyed it. And Spears asked Nick, what were you thinking when Tua took that sack in overtime? And Nick just kind of paused and rolled his eyes like, you know, the last thing you can have happen right there is a sack, because you need a field goal just to stay in the game. And you just put the field goal at ridiculous distance, right? So the next play, he rolls out, throws the pass, and it's over. Alabama wins. And Nick said, that's probably the biggest pendulum swing of emotions, 30 seconds in time, in my entire life. You go from, oh my God, we probably just lost the game on this sack, with insurmountable odds, down in distance, etc., to, oh my God, the very next play, we just won this damn thing. That kind of emotional pendulum swing. And then Nick says, this was funny. He says, in the locker room after the game, Tua says to me, Coach, it wasn't a big deal. We just needed more room to throw. And Nick said, that ain't funny. I thought that was a great exchange. That was good stuff. You imagine? I mean, you've all got your own team, and you've all got your own emotional swings with your team, winning or losing, or dramatic endings. That ending right there. And if you're Nick, I mean, you're used to natties. You've got a ton of them, right? There's one that looks like it's gotten away from you. You were totally, pretty much dominated the first half, right? Come back second half, you bring this kid off the bench, and you back in the game, got chances to win it, gets to overtime, you take that big sack, looks like now you're not going to win it, and then you win it on the next play. Talk about drama, man. Wow. I mean, you're living right. When it all goes your way like that, I mean, you're living right. Because, I mean, look, you can be ultra talented and successful, but you're going to have some lucky moments. Hopefully those moments are more lucky for you than against you, right? But that happens. It's amazing how, isn't it amazing how the really good coaches seem to have the most luck too? There's a method to that. It might feel like luck, it might be, but it happens more than it doesn't. Coach Marshall, back to Larry Fedora, says, hell, we once did three-a-days. Yeah, I mean, they've changed football so much. Now, I think now some of the rules that they've implemented for practice, like no back-to-back two-a-days or hardly any two-a-days at all that, I mean, I'm okay with that. I think some of those practices are reasonable. Because football, and it's still very difficult. Camp is still really hard. But it used to be brutal. I mean, it used to be just, please God, I pray to you, let me survive. I just, two-a-days, three-a-days, you're sweating. All you're doing is playing football in pads, in intense heat, eating and sleeping for about 2 weeks. That's the way it went. I mean, literally. And it was nothing but brutality. Now, again, good times. I mean, everybody's okay. But that's the way it was. And there was a lot of dread about it, but you just knew that's what you had to do. It was a rite of passage. And now they've cleaned a lot of that up. Now, it's still hard, but you're not allowed. Their rules are way more stringent today than they've ever been. And probably good. But the Fedora thing just from a football, what they're doing tinkering with football, I totally agree with. And I totally love being in the minority on the opposite side of the Twitter mafia. God, I love that. It's a euphoric feeling. Yeah, Twitter mafia. Oh, a fedora. Nah, he may be a knucklehead, but he's dead on right about that. They are screwing with it, and they're going to ruin the game. They're absolutely going to ruin the game. Hey, tomorrow we'll be at the Southern. Can't wait for that. Crazy Charlie will have hour number one. Losh Pop.